Greetings, friends and new listeners, and welcome to this program of the Archie Hardy Ministries. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for tuning in today, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Today's message by my father, Brother Hardy, is one of my favorites. It's entitled Grace Sufficient, because it speaks to the heart of every child of God. We will all at some time find ourselves in a place of great spiritual struggle, where, as Paul said, he was pressed in spirit and even pressed above measure. He testified that he sought the Lord three times to remove the messenger of Satan who buffeted him, but God answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness." So if you're feeling weak or weary, pressed or distressed, God wants you to know about grace sufficient.
Now we're talking about sufficient grace, and we're talking about that it is God that has ordained our trials and our tests. And he's doing that, we found out, because he's trying to get a qualified, tried, proven people that he can turn the ruling of the world over to in conjunction with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if we would overcome like he overcame and sat down in his Father's throne room, to sit down in a throne room means to be a co-ruler. If you will overcome, then I will grant that you will sit down in my throne room. In other words, we'll reign and rule with him. That's one of the promises. If we suffer with him, we shall be glorified with him. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. So God is working all things together for good. He's taking the fall of mankind and making it for the good of his whole creation and universe and kingdom. He's not going to subject the new world, the new kingdom, unto people that are not tried. He's not going to allow another season of rebellion amongst his creatures. He's purified heaven using Satan to purify the angelic beings. And all the rebels have been purged out. Now he's purging humanity. Satan came in, deceived Eve, and instead of making them like God, they were already like God. And only in one respect they were not, that they didn't know evil. Oh, take me back to that place. Oh, man, God is crying. Oh, take me back to that place. There was nothing bad or evil in the garden till Satan came in and they disobeyed. How many say amen? The world in itself, it's not evil. It's the lust that's entered in the world that's evil. And Satan, being a more powerful sinner than he, overcame man and subjugated man and made man his slave and rules over man through sin and lust and disobedience. Oh, but thanks be unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God in his abundant mercy has sent a deliverer in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has come, and instead of like man failing in the garden, he passed a test in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And he's purchased a right back for us to have the privilege to eat from the tree of life. That's one of the promises. In the seven letters to the seven churches, we will be able to eat from the tree of life and live forever and ever. You know, I don't want to eat from the tree of life now, because I don't want to have to live forever and ever in this condition and in this state of having the war against my flesh and my fallen human nature, keeping it dead and under. And I don't want to have to be eternally fighting Satan in this condition. Thanks be unto God, I'm going to be restored back to that place where Adam was, in the image of God and in the likeness of God, because I'm going to be in the new and the last Adam's image and likeness. For when he comes, I'm going to see him as he is. He's going to change my vile body, fashion it like it unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. And as I have overcame like he overcomed, I'm going to sit down with him on a throne and reign with him forever and ever. And the Father will never have to worry about us rebelling, because he's going to find that out now. Trials and tests comes from the Father, and it is God's way of purging humanity of all of the rebels. How many say amen? Just like he purged the angelic beings, he is purging humanity of the rebels. And those that pass the test become a member of the church. And the church is God's implement and instrument to represent him and to reign on the earth and to continue the business of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver mankind from Satan, sin, and all of its oppressions. So in order to come out of fallen mankind and be a part of the church, all we have to do is repent of our sins and receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Then we become a son of God and a member of his body and a member of the church. Now we've got to qualify for eternal rulership, a place in the eternal kingdom of God. That's what our Christian life's all about. That's why God, when we got saved, just didn't rapture and take us out. For two reasons. He needs us to witness to the world and to throw out the lifeline and pull in them that would be saved. And he's got to try his church. Paul said, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we might give an account for the deeds which we have done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad." And the Greek word here means useless. A lot of people's lives is useless, doing nothing. A lot of Christian lives are useless, not doing anything for the advancement in the cause of Christ and his kingdom. They are they that are going to get saved as by fire, but their works shall be burnt up. So we're in now, the members of the church are in the place of qualifying for rulership, qualifying to receive rewards for our labors. And in order for us to qualify for rulership, we've got to overcome some things. We don't have to overcome sin because Jesus has already overcome it for us and gave us the power to live right. All we got to do is live right now. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Jesus has overcome sin, he's overcome the world, he's overcome the devil, he's overcome everything. And he's given us the victory. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulations, but get happy, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I have given to you the thing that can cause you to overcome everything. I have given you the faith, for this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith." How many say amen? I don't have to overcome sin. Sin's been overcome, eradicated, and removed from my life. And all I got to do now is use this power that Jesus gave me to keep on living right. Sin shall not have dominion over me, for he that is dead is free from sin. You see, I don't have to overcome sin. I'm free from sin. Hallelujah. And I'm kept from sinning. Peter said, "We are they that are kept by the power of God through faith." Hallelujah. And he not only keeps me from sin, he keeps me singing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. But what is the test now? The test is whether we will obey God and do what he says. And when God wants us to obey him and do what he says, then there brings a consequence if we do. If we obey God and do what he says, you know what the devil does? He gets angry and stirred up at us. And he comes after us to make us take back by bringing trials, tests, and pressures to get us to let down. And you know, if you've got a lot of flesh still existing in you and self, then you're going to have a battle in yourself. Whether you're going to obey the Lord or you're going to compromise. The devil's trying to get you to compromise. I know he tries to get me to compromise. Don't preach it too straight. That's the only way I know to preach it the way the Lord wrote it. I don't have no message of my own. My message is not mine, Jesus said, but his that sent me. My message is not mine, it's the Lord. I can only preach the word. How many say amen? As the Lord has given to me, my battle is to preach the word as the Lord has convicted my heart. And in doing that, the devil gets stirred up because he don't want that truth to go out, because it is the truth that makes mankind free. And when I obey the Lord and preach the truth, then he goes out there and stirs people up to bring trials and tests and pressures against me like he did Paul. Now, contrary, your trials and tests don't come because you're not doing right. They come because you are doing right. Now, I'm not talking, you're not in a trial or test if you disobey the Lord and you're in trouble. You're in disobedience. Repent and get back to God and that'll go. I said, you're not in a trial or test if you've disobeyed the Lord. You're in condemnation and disobedience. And that's what's making you all full of trouble and misery. Your conscience is condemning you. And God's greater than your heart, knows all things. So what you need to do is repent of that thing and get back to obeying God and that'll go. But when you're obeying God and doing what God says, then the devil out there is stirring up your trouble and it's not going to go a lot of times. And I don't care how many times you pray, because in my text that I read, let me read it again in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 7th verse. And here Paul is talking about himself, that he was caught up into heaven. He was caught up unto the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise. And there in paradise, God gave him revelations and visions that he said it was impossible for him to speak. They were unutterable. There wasn't human words to put it in. There was things that he saw that was nothing on earth that he could liken it to. In fact, it was not possible for him to speak it because he was forbidden to say some of the things. And Paul said, I just had this superabundant revelation. And he said, but as soon as I hit the ground from it, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Should have been a stake for the flesh. In the Greek, it's not a preposition there. In the Greek, it's a dative case, which means to or for. He had a stake for the flesh. Kind of like our American saying when we say that person is a pain in the neck. He was given a pain in the neck. How many say amen? We know that don't literally mean a pain in the neck, but we mean that somebody's bothering us and wearying us and troubling us. And he was given a pain in the neck, a stake for the flesh, something to bother and weary and trouble him. And the Bible declares it was an angel of Satan. Of course, our King James says messenger, but the Greek word is angelos. And 184 times out of 191, it's translated angel. And a messenger means angel, and angel means messenger anyhow. So let's read it. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Said, except I get lifted up in pride because I was caught up to heaven and had this great revelation. There was given to me a thorn for the flesh. The messenger of Satan, the angel of the devil, was sent to be a pain in my neck. And he was sent to buffet me. The Greek word, you know what the Greek word buffet means? To slap around like a boxer, to punch you. You know, a lot of people that don't believe in divine healing and healing in the covenant try to make this thorn in the flesh some kind of sickness. Paul was blind. I can see him. Paul had malaria. A lot of them make him, Paul had epilepsy. Oh, these are all the theories of the thorn in the flesh, that he was sick. Some years back, I took a bus trip in the land of Greece, starting from Crete and then coming from the boat to the southern extreme of Greece. And then I took a bus trip and traced Paul's journey through Greece. And I mean, we went up to some mighty mountains. It took us 3 weeks to make the trip till we went to Saloniki, which is the modern name for the Thessalonica, which we get the book Thessalonians from. And I was tired riding that bus. And I had no sickness or my disease in my body, but I was tired after that trip. And I thought, if Paul was sick and blind, how in the world could he make that trip on donkey and foot? He'd have never been able to do it until he had to be very strong to make that journey, because they didn't have air conditioning buses. He had to walk and go on a donkey sometime. Most of the time he walked. Same way with Jesus. Most of the time Jesus walked all over the land of Israel. Let me read the scripture, then I'll get back to you on the thorn in the flesh a little bit more. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Don't worry about getting any thorns in the flesh unless you get an abundant revelation. Folks with ordinary revelations don't have to worry about the thorn. Because of the abundant revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And now, He's describing the thorn in the flesh, the angel, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Trials and tests are for our benefits. How many say amen? God didn't want Paul to get lifted up in pride like Lucifer got lifted up in pride and fell. Why are there war and unrest? Why is there an AIDS epidemic? Why is there a dope epidemic in America? Why are our young people being devoured by alcohol and venereal diseases and dope? And why is the world full of violence? And why is there murders stalking our streets? It was because one person, Lucifer, got pride. He got lifted up in pride, and all of this chaos and sin and death and horrible diseases. You know, some people's children are born with diseases and they blame God. Don't blame God. You blame Adam for sinning. Don't blame God. God didn't do it. Everything was perfect. Everything was beautiful when he brought man into existence. All his needs were supplied. All of these things, sickness and disease and wars and all this terrible violence has come from man's disobedience, originally with Adam, and man continually choosing to live in disobedience has brought our world to the brink of extinction so many ways. Don't blame God. It was man that followed Lucifer. Lucifer got lifted up in pride and rebelled and fomented rebellion in the universe, and he's caused the whole universe to go into rebellion, and the whole world's in a state of rebellion. Father had to send Jesus to rescue mankind out of his power and out of that rebellious nature and stage and bring back the kingdom unto himself and get a qualified, purified, holy people that he could give the running and the ministrating of the world over to, like he originally gave to Adam. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm going to be one of them. I don't know about you. And God didn't want Paul to have that test of being lifted up in pride. So he gave Paul a stake or a thorn for his flesh. The angel of Satan set to buffet him, to give him a hard time, to give him trouble, to stir the people up that they stoned him, to stir the Jews up that they had vows to kill him, that he was beaten 195 lashes, five times beating 40 stripes less one, 195. Three times he was beaten with rods. Everywhere he went, he said, I have perils on the land, perils in the sea, perils in the city, perils amongst the people I'm going to, perils amongst my brethren. Oh, everywhere he went, Satan was buffeting him so he wouldn't get lifted up in pride. In fact, that word thorn means a pale. He was impaled. It was as it were, he was stuck on it as a spear sticking up, and it was holding him down. God did that to hold him down so he wouldn't be lifted up in pride for his abundant revelation. And when you are obeying God and doing the things that please God, then the devil's going to send an angel to try to slap you around, try to buffet you, stir up everybody around you. Just like you might come into a service and have a great and glorious service and feel tremendous, and on the way out you come to your car, your windshield smashed, or your tire has been punctured. That kept you from getting too lifted up. You see, trials and tests are for our benefit. It's God's way of polishing us up. It's God's way of humbling us. It's God's way of refining us. It's God's way of perfecting us. Now, a lot of people will understand while I say, I thank God for the devil. Somebody said, I'm not. Yes, because he's God's tool of polishing me up, getting out the dross, and making me complete that I can qualify for that place of rulership in the kingdom. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for that.
Amen. What an encouraging word of the Lord by my father, Brother Hardy. Grace sufficient. Aren't you glad to know that there is no temptation overtaking you except that which is common to man? And God is faithful, for he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. But with every temptation, he will also make the way of escape that you might be able to endure. This is why we are told to come boldly before the throne of grace and ask for help in our time of need, because we have a merciful high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So regardless of how severe the test may be, God's promised, "My grace is sufficient for you." As Peter told us, don't think it strange you are experiencing fiery trials, but know this, the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that is tried by fire. So for those of you who desire this message on CD for yourself or to share it with someone you know who is in a fiery trial of faith, it can be ordered on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request offer 163. The mailing address is R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or if you prefer, order online at rghardy.org. Again, Grace Sufficient is offer 163 for your love gift of $10 or more. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Even if you do not wish to order today, why not write us or go online at rghardy.org and let us know that the radio ministry is a blessing to you. Until next time, this is Sister Sharon saying, Maranatha.